pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to move to item 1.3 on the agenda tonight, roll call. We have two council members sick tonight, Ken Johnson and Dan Deaver. I'd entertain a motion to excuse those council members.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Although we have a motion made and second to excuse Dan Deaver and Ken Johnson from tonight's council meeting for sickness, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on our agenda, 1.4, citizen input. We had had a request from Caleb Booth. We'll see him in the audience. So, is there any other citizen input that would like to be given to the City Council tonight? Nope. Okay, hearing none. We'll move on. Item number two, approval of the agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make a motion. I'll second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve tonight's agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three, consent agenda. We have a number of items on our consent agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item four is current business. Tonight we are would like to welcome much of the Othello Police Department and friends, because we have a swearing-in ceremony of two police officers, Officer McFarling and Officer Robinson, and I'd like to call our interim police chief, Dave Rim, to swear in these police officers.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. I'd like to introduce two of our newest police officers to our team. First, we have Officer Matt Robertson on the far right. Matt grew up in Marlin, Washington. After completing high school, he joined the Army. He is in the Army Reserve now with a total of 16 years of service. He has been deployed to both Iraq and Afghanistan. He now lives south of Odessa with his wife and his kids. He has expressed his eagerness to be a police officer in the Columbia Basin. On the left is Officer Brent McFarling. Brent grew up in Anacortes, Washington. After completing high school, he earned a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Eastern Washington University. Brent worked for the Washington State Department of Corrections for 7 years. He held the title of correction officer, correctional sergeant, and correctional classification counselor. Brent was a police officer, a reserve police officer for the Connell Police Department for 1 year. Brent continued his law enforcement career as a full-time police officer with the Umatilla Tribal Police. He was with Umatilla for 18 months. Brent and his family currently live in Connell. Brent has told me that he's very excited about the opportunity to serve the people of Othello. With that, gentlemen, I'd ask you to turn and face me. This is just the start of your journey with the Othello Police Department and the community of Othello. We have much to learn in this profession. You will need support from senior officers, supervisors, and administration, as well as your family. Law enforcement is a calling. The decision to make your profession should not have come lightly. Knowing this, I'm asking that you raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. You solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington and the Charter and Ordinances of the City of Othello, Washington, and abide abide by the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics as adopted by the Othello Police Department. That I will faithfully, honestly, and impartially perform and discharge the duties of police officer during my continuance as such. So help me God. Congratulations.
Mayor Rappel, I'd like to welcome you to the team. Thank you for going through this process. And we just want to welcome you to be a part of our team. Yes. Carry on. Thank you, Dave. Okay. Before I go into the public hearing for the transportation improvement program, Caleb Booth has just arrived, and so I would like to allow him the 5 minutes to speak. So Caleb, would you please address the council, state your name and address and your business before the city council.
Caleb Booth, we have Farmers Electric here in town, local businessman, and I'd like to ask about a new ordinance possibly to be written and put in force law, however, because I don't understand that process. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for your time. Sorry I was late. I was actually watching my son play baseball in Colorado. So sometimes things take a little longer than they're supposed to, but you got to do that stuff first. The city ordinance that I'd like to request be looked at or considered would be in regards to people rummaging and digging through another person's trash can, dumpster, garbage container on their property or in the alley or any public place for that matter. Reasonings behind this request began from the stem of burglaries and break-ins I had onto our lot with the different group of people that's how they get by. That group of people, it's kind of obvious. I talked to a few officers when those things were happening to us, and they say that yes, we know that a few of these guys have been accused of breaking into places locally and or stealing items that they come across, but we have no proof. We can't do anything about it. Many long, extensive conversations with Chief Donegan when he was the chief here basically stated, you know, if we don't have a picture or proof, there's nothing we can do about it. And then I would, you know, kind of state some of my frustrations to the officers, you know, and tell them, hey, why can't we do anything about these guys? They shouldn't be digging our garbage can. And they would have to hang a sign and go through all this. Seemed like pretty extensive stuff just to secure your property from a simple item that I feel people were using to basically scope out a joint or be accepted that that's what they are, but yet they're doing more than that. Like by being, you know, opportunistic, they're digging in the garbage can, but they see something else open. They go ahead and they grab those items or, you know, take what they can get their hands on. And it's not just from my own. With talking with a few other people about it before I decided I wanted to approach the council or the city about it, there's health and safety concerns, cleanliness for the community, security for the community members by way of, I mean, everybody knows about identity theft. You know, a wife throws away, oh, that's just junk mail, throws it away, credit card offer. A guy picks that up, and he's part of another group of guys that, you know, do some shady stuff. There's just, it's something that I feel would give the officers and more of a, like, upper hand on these guys that they see out doing these things, digging garbage cans, and then, you know, taking other items that they see, and, you know, give them an upper hand on them and say, hey, you can't do that here. And they would have to either leave or get a job and live like the rest of us, and, you know, work for a living rather than scabbing off the trash can. And also, the stuff that they leave out that blows around and ends up in the next guy's lot, that he doesn't want the garbage from the garbage can and whatnot. And I haven't heard any of that, but I'm sure it happens. You know, it's a cleanliness deal for appearance for the city also. And there's been a lot of guys doing it, more than I've ever seen, you know, growing up here. So I see it as something that's a growing problem that could possibly get worse. And I think it'd be good to get addressed before it becomes a big problem. So that's what I have.
I think we have some staff that's done some research. Catherine, are you going to speak?
Oh, sure. Just.
Catherine is our city attorney.
Okay.
Just to let you know what we currently have available in our toolbox, as it were, to deal with this issue. In your current municipal code in Title V related to your garbage collection and rates, there are provisions that make it illegal for anybody other than the contracted collector or a city representative to retrieve, search, or otherwise interfere with the garbage once it's been deposited into a container. The containers are owned by CDSI, your contract carrier, and if those containers are on private property at the time, of course, it's a criminal charge of trespass because they can't trespass on private property. But if the containers have been placed in the public right-of-way for pickup, as many of them are left there, including your bigger dumpsters and containers, then you wouldn't be able to charge a criminal charge of trespass, but you would be able to issue a civil infraction under your current code for violating your Title V. Because you do have a contract with your garbage collector that gives them the exclusive authority to collect. And so it's not only part of your municipal code, it's actually part of your contract with CDSI. In fact, if you look in your packets in your contract that you're renewing today, Section 6.3 is the exclusive right to collection, and that prohibits the city from allowing, even with consent, somebody else to go through the trash. And that has been an issue in some situations where people will come to the city and actually ask if they can go through the dumpsters on public property that have been put out for collection to retrieve recyclables, for instance. And we simply can't allow that unless we negotiate a provision in the contract with your garbage collector. But you do have something currently in your code that makes it a civil infraction. That may not be sufficient for the council if they want to pursue something further. I would need to take a look at how far our authority goes. Washington State treats the privacy in terms of your right to garbage a little differently than the federal courts do. And under the federal case law, there is no right to privacy in garbage, but in Washington, there is a right to privacy that extends at least as far as police searching garbage for purposes of finding criminal activity. I don't know that that necessarily would extend to just dumpster diving in general by private citizens, but we could take a look if the council decided it wanted something stronger in its current code.
Is there any way we could give Caleb a copy of what our code currently is so that he could review that and see, maybe make some suggestions?
It's on the internet.
Yeah, if you
right
just look
website.
At chapter 5.08 okay. of the municipal code, that's all in the city's regulations.
So then maybe, I guess, if I run into the same thing, just talk to the officers and say, hey, maybe do something in this direction.
Write a ticket up to $150 if you'd like.
you know, as far as enforcement, if somebody's out at a dumpster after dark at 2:30 in the morning, that'd be a good idea for a police officer to go write a ticket and investigate somebody out there, wouldn't you think? I mean, he's just inviting that.
We got him for the law. But now, I mean, I didn't know that. I mean, this is like, good, you know, I mean, it's already there. I mean, you know, something can be done with it. That's positive, very positive.
Right. So, and the time you took to come here and explain what problems you've been having also helps us, you know, better do what our responsibilities are, so.
Well, and I feel that, you know, I can't be the only one. Maybe I'm the one that saw that because I would see the guys coming through and, you know, reviewing tapes and whatnot. And it seemed that the guys would use that as an excuse, that, you know, to check out other things. And you know, you see it happen, so.
Yeah, so if you see it happening on your property, they don't have permission.
Yeah, well, we have big old sign, and we had to do all that stuff, you know, so, but, and it has helped, but I can't be the only one. But, you know, like I said, you know, if it's enforced, but first you gotta know one. Can't know everything. This is brought up as issues.
Okay, Kevin.
That's all I have. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda, 4.2, public hearing for the Transportation Improvement Program for 2015 through 2020. This public hearing is now open at 7:16 p.m. and is to receive a staff report and public comments on the city's six-year Transportation Improvement Program for 2015 through 2020. This public hearing is required by state law. The six-year transportation improvement program has been drafted, and I will now ask Terry to present his report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight in front of you, we have the six-year transportation improvement program. This has to be adopted by Council every year. Somewhere down around April, May. It has to be done by June. The players that are on this six-year street plan are the same that has been there for the last 2 years. Not a lot of change. These are your main arterials that are here. They're put on this list for federal state funding. For anything that comes up, they have to be on this list. You can pick and choose. They don't have to be in this order. You can pick and choose from this list what you want to do when your funding comes up. One thing we have done is we are down here May 11th, we have to put in for an application for a grant for a walk path, bicycle pedestrian walk path. And it has to be on this six-year street plan in order to be able to put in for the funding. So what we've done is we've added this walk path. There's 9,200 feet of it. We've added two this plan so that we can put in for this next month for funding purposes. So everything that you see here in the plan is been on there for the last couple of years, and we adopt it about this time every year. It has to be adopted every year.
Thank you, Terry. I will now ask for public testimony, questions or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. And after I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and I'll allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Is there any citizen input tonight regarding the six-year street plan, transportation improvement program? Okay. Hearing none. I will now close the time for public testimony. And council members want to make comments regarding the six-year street plan? Staff comments? With that, hearing none, I will now close the public hearing at 7:19 p.m. What we have before us tonight is a resolution to adopt the 2015 through 2020 six-year street improvement program. This time I would entertain a motion to adopt that.
I'll make that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda tonight is the informational discussion with regard to the contract with Consolidated Disposal Services. Corey.
I need to recuse myself from any kind of discussion because of a conflict of interest, as I'm an employee of Consolidated Disposal.
You're recused. Chair recognizes you as recused, and now our city administrator, Wade Ferris, will give us a report.
Okay. Mayor and City Council, we've it's time now for the contract renewal in July for the current contract with Consolidated Disposal Services. And so we started doing some research, looking at it. We met with the Waste Management Committee last week, looked at some options, and this contract's been renewed like 8 different times, or extended 8 different times, which is good. They appear to offer us very good service at a very reasonable rate. Other contracts were extended for 5 years. The committee decided that we should do this only for 3 years. Perhaps we're going to look at other options. One of the things that CDSI proposed also in their contract was to include waste, yard waste, and also include recycling. If you look in your package, you'll see that was going to be additional cost of $420 a month for the recycling, $5 a month for yard waste. And the problem with that is you don't get the option. Everybody in the city has to do it, or they don't do it at all. We, as the community and I, talked about this. Since we just went up on the water and sewer rates, we decided maybe we should hold off on this till next year or the year after to include those services as well. As we look through the history of the rates on the regular garbage pickup, they've increased only slightly every year. And the service, is, I've been tracking it since I've been here for 5 months, it's quite good. And so we decided to go ahead and go with this company again for 3 years. What I'm here for tonight is to make sure to get a consensus from the council that that is indeed the direction we want to go. And next time I'm in front of you, it will be another month or two to approve the actual contract. So I would ask for a consensus from the council that we proceed down that road.
Is there any comments or questions the council has?
I just got one comment. In the 15 years, it's only went up 59 cents per week. So you're talking $2.36 in 15 years for a whole month.
Wow. Good.
Now, truth in advertising, part of that, we've been subsidized by the city because of the surplus. Spencer can address that, but even with that, Spencer and I talked about it today, if we did away with some of the subsidy, the increase would still not be very much. Spencer, we decided, what, another dollar or so a month?
Right now, as Wade was saying, we have a contract with Consolidated Disposal to provide us with these services, and we then provide these services to the citizens for a certain rate. That rate hasn't been increased since 2006, and that's pretty amazing. 8 years so far, and the idea behind that was in our solid waste fund, we had a surplus that just wasn't being used. So we thought, well, we have this money. What are we doing with this? So let's hold our rates where they're at, and we can slowly eat away at that surplus until we're at a place where. Collecting money that we're not eventually we'll want to take a look at that those rates, just to make sure that the rates are not because of that contract with the city aside. That's kind of questions.
But like Councilman Snyder said, the city aside themselves have not increased our rates for very little over the years. So if the council wants to let me know what they want to do, then see if we'll.
Any other comments?
I was just wondering if we could look into possibly somehow get some feedback from everyone in the city that's being covered by the disposal costs, whether they would want to see a yard waste container added to the to their.
You mean like a survey?
Well, to have somehow get word from the community whether or not that would be beneficial to them. And whether, I believe it would improve the look of the city itself if you had an avenue to get rid of the waste that you were generating in your yard, your home. And a lot of people would, I think they would really like this service, you know, so that they had some place to go with their grass clippings, so they had some place to go with their trimmings and things like that that they do continually. But it would have to come in the form of feedback from the community to say that would be worthwhile to pursue. And if we're already subsidizing funding for the pickup of garbage through the city, that might be an avenue that we could use that money for.
Okay, we'll look at it and try and decide, figure out a way that we can get citizen input on that, maybe have an informal survey and through their water bills, perhaps, and have them either return it to us. We'll brainstorm it.
Okay.
That's a suggestion. Because I personally would like it too, live in the city, but not everybody is probably as diligent as you are, but keeping your yard cleaned up, there's Councilwoman Dara either. So, anyway.
Just out of curiosity, does the renewing the contract without the yard waste and the recycling, does that preclude us from being able to add it at a later date?
I guarantee that if we ask them to do it,
they'll do it.
Even though one councilman's recusing himself, I'm sure he would nod his head and say they would probably do it. So. If not, we can do it. These rates will change every year. We have to approve them every year. So at the most, it would be the next year, but I'm sure we do.
Okay. So we could go ahead and approve the contract and then look into some of these things.
Absolutely.
That we're wanting to look into.
Absolutely. That's the reason for the 3-year contract, so we can do something different if we want to.
Cool. Okay. So what's our next step?
Next step is for me to go ahead and get with CDSI, the management there, and tell them we'd like to go down this road and here's what we'd like to do. And
okay.
We're going to extend the contract. Pretty easy. And once we finish that, then it just be like any other contract, we'll come back to council for approval.
All right, so with our 4 remaining council members, is there any objection to following that path? I'd say you have a consensus there.
Got it. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you. Teamsters, item 4.5 on our agenda is Teamsters Union Agreement, Sergeants and Dispatchers.
That's me also.
That's okay, wait.
Okay. You all have in your packets the contracts with the Teamsters for the next 3 years for both our sergeants and our dispatchers. I was in part of those, the last part of those negotiations, as were some of you. I think you agree that the terms are pretty much agreeable to both the city and for the sergeants and dispatchers. Probably the most significant thing is, as we looked at the salaries for the sergeants, we found we were not in line with some of the communities around here, so we agreed to some of the an increase in salaries, and we're still not all the way there, but we're getting there. And we thought that was important, so that's probably the most significant thing in the contract. With that, I'll ask if there are any questions.
So as far as our budget impact, are we able to absorb that?
We check on that before we agree to this.
Okay, good. All right, council? All right. So at this time then, if there's no other questions, I'd entertain a motion to approve the new Teamsters contracts with the police sergeants and dispatchers.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Wade. Item 4.6, resolution to authorize use of city property. At our workshop, we had Molly, yes, Molly, please approach. The Othello Christian Church had made a presentation along with Molly. And so now, Molly, do you want to continue?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor and Council. So, as the Mayor mentioned, on April 7th, at the City Council workshop, we presented the Council with a request for use of city property, the gravel lot on 9th Avenue and Pine Street, on behalf of the Othello Christian Church and Pastor Nan Riddle. And what she would like to do is to bring, or what the church would like to do, is to bring Compassion International's Compassion Experience, it's called the Change the Story presentation, to the lot. And the dates and times for that would be the setup on Friday, May 30th from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. The presentation would take place and we'd stay in the lot from Saturday until Monday, May 31st through June 2nd from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and clean up on Tuesday, June 3rd from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. So what the presentation is Compassion International is one of the largest child development and sponsorship programs, or Christian child development and sponsorship program. So what Compassion International does is bring in two tractor trailers and basically fits them together so people can come in and watch these presentations, basically walk through the life of a child in poverty and kind of really experience from the child telling them the story through the presentation, kind of how their life was benefited through Compassion International and sponsorship through this program. And so what the setup takes is the two expandable tractor trailers, and it's a total 120 by 60 foot footprint. So the Change the Story engineers did look at the gravel lot and just to make sure that we had enough space. And so they gave their approval on that, but we still have for a backup plan, the parking lot in Lyons Park, just in case. But the presentation doesn't require any electricity, and the city will take care of extra garbage containers and the extra fees for garbage disposal. And so set up, tear down, and staffing and security of that event will be taken care of by the Compassion International staff and the Othello Christian Church. So with that, due to the estimated attendance of 150 to 500 people for this event, the Othello Christian Church will incur the $200 special event fee for use of city property. And with that, we'll also enter into a resolution for use of city property, as well as an indemnification agreement, or a facility use indemnification agreement with the Othello Christian Church, just to ensure the city's covered should anything happen. So with that, I just ask Council to approve the resolution for use of city property for the Change the Story presentation, please.
Council? You good?
I just had one comment and request, and that would be to strike recital number 4 in the resolution.
Separation of church and state.
Oh.
We're probably not going to say that, but I mean, we do. We just don't put it in writing. Okay. I'm good with that. Thank you for that, Catherine.
Thank you.
Okay. Council, I would entertain a motion to adopt the resolution for Fellow Christian Church to use city property for their Compassion Experience, change the story presentation for Friday, May 30th through Tuesday, June 30th.
Striking recital number four. I make that motion.
Strike the resolution, yes. Item recital number four. Very good.
Second.
Made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item on our agenda is to a resolution to appoint our official newspaper. Debbie?
Thank you, Mayor. Annually, we need to call for an bids for the official newspaper, and it's by state law. So we went ahead and called for bids, advertised it, and we received only one bid from the Othello Outlook. They meet all the requirements for being the official newspaper for the city. And their bid came in at $8.10 per single column inch, which is, I think, an 80 cents increase from last year. But due to that, they meet all the requirements, so I'm asking the mayor, or the council, to consider approving the resolution designating the Othello Outlook as the city's official newspaper. This will be for 1 year, starting May 1st.
Council, any questions or discussion? Okay. With that, I would entertain a motion to adopt the resolution appointing the Othello Outlook as our official newspaper.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Debbie? Thank you. The next item on our agenda is a resolution to reestablish the petty cash and change funds. And Spencer, do you want to speak to that issue?
Yes, thank you very much. We, what you see on the overhead here are some excerpts from a resolution that we have that establishes petty cash and change funds around the city. We have a couple at the front counter, one at City Hall for various petty cash needs. Parks and Rec has a couple, and there are two in the police department. Both the current interim chief and the previous chief brought to my attention that the police department has a $1,000 petty drug buy fund that has existed since at least 1977. And this is a fund that we don't have recorded in an official resolution or in our accounting system. And so I wanted to add this to the resolution here. It's the very bottom item on the list there. I wanted to add this item to the resolution so we can officially recognize this as a city asset, because it is, both for accounting purposes and so we can have accountability over its usage. It does have, in the lockbox where this is kept, there is a journal that shows the usage of these dollars, and it looks like they haven't been used for a couple of years at least, a long time. Interim Chief Rem and I talked about just dissolving it altogether and not even including it, because maybe we don't need it. And the suggestion from our discussion was that we can wait until we get the new chief and maybe let him make the decision. He might want to go one way or the other. But so tonight I have the revised resolution that includes this $1,000 as city petty cash.
Thank you for that explanation, Spencer. Council, any questions or discussion? Cleanup item?
Yep.
Spencer? Okay. Very good.
Yes, we're not spending any money. This is just recognizing this fund that has already existed
and accounting for it.
Yes.
Very good. Spencer recommends we adopt this resolution then. I would entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second. On seconded. We have a motion made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
business? Is there any unfinished business that needs to come before the Avella City Council tonight? Is there any new business that will come before the City Council tonight? I just have a question of Molly. Molly, when is the opening day of Little League?
Well, the first game is for today.
Okay. But the opening ceremony.
The opening ceremony for the
26th of April. Has anyone from the family of Fred Calzadilis contacted you?
Yeah, we've been in contact with them. So, and I've been working with all these people, so that I've worked with them. The people that are preparing it aren't able to attend, so they're more than happy to do
this. So, do we want to wait then on any public news until it develops?
Council knows Fred Calzadilis was involved in youth baseball for a long time in the city of Othello, whether it's youth baseball or club baseball. So he passed away last year, and his friends and family did a benefit to raise money for him, I guess, his services, and also just kind of in remembrance of him. And they wanted to donate some of that money to the Othello Youth Baseball League. And with that, they also wanted to put together kind of somewhat of a plaque in remembrance of him to put up at the ball field. So they've been preparing that, and they're still in the design phase. They kind of finished it up, but there was a spelling error, so they had to go back and get that fixed. So we've been working with them to kind of, you know, make sure the logistics on it, where we can put it and stuff like that. Once it's complete, Terry and I will kind of go through and see where the best possible places are for that. So we've been working with the Othello Youth Baseball League to put something together for the opening day ceremonies, to kind of do a presentation and somewhat of a ceremony to honor Fred, and just to kind of let everybody know how much, you know, work he did and what he meant to his friends and family, and also to the Othello Youth Baseball League. So that will be included. I'm not sure at what point during the ceremonies. That's still something that we're working on, but it will be included if anybody would like to attend. I can get them more information if they would like to contact me.
There was an idea that they floated around. The first one was renaming the park, which I told them that's probably not a good idea. Because once you name a park, what if the descendants of those people find out we renamed the park? That's probably not the best thing to do. So then there was the idea of naming one of the particular diamonds as the Fred Calzadilis Memorial Baseball Field, you know, diamond or whatever, that particular field, not the whole park, but just, or the complex, just the one field. So they had any discussions in that regard? Or
we,
if they want to put up a plaque?
We haven't discussed that. They basically kind of, what we did was go over, you know, their interest in honoring him and kind of what their thoughts were. And the first thing that was mentioned was a plaque. And so that's basically what they've been working on, something that is metal and weatherproof and can be put on a fence. So basically it would look, in essence, like it was Fred's diamond or ball field. But we haven't had any mention or discussion of that. I can certainly bring that up with them and kind of see what their thoughts were going forward. But the plaque that they have is aluminum, I believe, and weatherproof. And so they got a guarantee that it should last for 5 years, and they bought 3 more of them to make sure that they can replace them. So they are just, that's what they've been working on. Like I said, they are still kind of back at the drawing board with that, and they'll get back to me when they have it finished so we can kind of see what the feasibility is.
Well, I would think that if they do want a field renamed for him, that would need City Council approval.
I would think so.
Okay. But just as far as hanging a plaque, do we need City Council approval for that too? Catherine, do you know?
I would have the council make a motion there.
Okay.
If you're going to authorize the display of private sign on public property.
Well, since they're going to do that before our next council meeting,
Well, and also what they're going to do is present it at the Little League opening day. And so, you know, we can wait until the next council meeting to bring it to the council's attention and then install it after that. So, I mean, that's an option as well.
I have a comment on that. I think it would be a good thing maybe to do it tonight. That way at the presentation they can say, if it's approved, they can say it's going to be mounted at the field. Do you understand what I'm saying?
In other words, you want to give them permission now. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Well, do we want to do it now or do we want to wait and possibly they could get together and do any discussions they need to do on possible asking to rename a field? And do that all at once.
That's true too, Gina. Thank you. Rather wait? I think we should wait.
Find out what
clarification on what they're expecting.
So do you think you could communicate that to the league?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're taking a lead on this. The league, or is it the Casadillas family?
It's friends of their family, so the ones who did the fundraiser are the ones who are donating the sign, and they're friends of the family. So,
well, I think the Ocala City Council certainly intends to honor Fred Casadillas and his memory and his, you know, duty, or actually his many years of service to the community, volunteer service at that, and so. Maybe what you could do between now and then, we'll put it on the agenda for the 28th.
Okay.
And we could discuss with those representatives and you what exactly was in their minds, and then we would have a clear idea. And they would then be able to have, you know, they could mention it in the ceremony on the 26th, and even if they had it done there, they could display it. But as far as the final disposition and that, that would need to come before the city council.
Okay.
Okay.
We can certainly do that.
Is that okay? You guys all right with that? Okay. Good. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
Are there any other new business to come before the Othello City Council? Hearing none, I'd like to enter into item 7 on our agenda, executive session, potential litigation. Council will now adjourn at 7:46 p.m. to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.301101 to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions, or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or likely to become a party. Public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. This executive session is expected to last 30 minutes, and no action will be taken during the executive session. With that, I'd like to